This is WWE superstar Drew McIntyre, and you're listening to the WWE Podcast.
One that everybody wants, me.
Becky Lynch is going to WrestleMania.
Claymore!
Oh! Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
This is my iron.
You're going to acknowledge me.
And welcome to the WWE Podcast. It's time to talk Monday Night Raw here on this Tuesday, March 19th, 2024, as we are 18 days away, I think it is, from WrestleMania 40. The countdown is on, not too much longer, and we'll be looking back and saying, wow, can't believe it's over, right? It happens every year, and here we are. So thank you, everybody, for joining us here. And if you'd like to join us on the Patreon side of things to go ad-free, then that's obviously available to you. And I'd encourage you to do it over at Patreon, because we're going to have a ton of content as we get closer and closer to WrestleMania, wall-to-wall coverage of WrestleMania itself. And lots of cool little in-between shows, I think, that you'll enjoy. But I'd like to take a moment to thank the latest patrons and those of you who have joined as even free members. Marco Boyo, Hungry Pup. Let's see, we've got Candace Moore, I'm probably butchering these horribly, but Jonathan Ozuna, thank you. And I think that'll do it. So those are the latest patrons who have joined us over the last week. So shout out to all of you. Thank you. And you can get your shout out and tons of other perks over at patreon.com/WWE podcast. If you'd like to do that, or head on over to Apple, we have a subscription right there for you in the Apple Podcast app if you want to add free experience. So let's get into Monday Night Raw that came to us live from Raleigh, North Carolina in the PNC Arena. And we got Jey Uso coming out to open the show, and pretty soon after, Jimmy Uso shows up. He called out Jimmy. Jimmy showed up to the crowd. Solo was with him, and Jey being super over. I mean, you forget sometimes how over Jey is. You know, he nearly won the world title at the end of, what was it, the end of May, I think it was? Was it the end of May? No, that's when Seth won it. It was like November, end of November. Seth and Jey had a world title match on Raw. Jey nearly won it in one of his best matches, his singles matches ever. And we had big aspirations for Jey. Just as we had big aspirations for LA Knight, we thought LA Knight was going to be in a U.S. title match. We thought that Jey Uso could be in a potentially world title match, or at least intercontinental, and neither of those materialized, but Jimmy and Jey did a nice job, I think, this week building towards their program at WrestleMania. And while I have said over and over that I'm over the old Bloodline Civil War stuff, we never get to a Jimmy Jey finale. We never got to their part of the story specifically, and Jimmy has been screwing with Jey for months and months and months. Jey is finally retaliating, but we got some emotion here, and it was well done by both men, including Jimmy, who I've been a bit tough on over the last several months, mainly because his character has been directionless. He's been nothing but a background character for Roman Reigns, and since rejoining the Bloodline that we never got an explanation for, he has essentially disappeared. And this week he didn't. This week he showed up. And Jimmy said that he never left Jey. Jimmy said it was Jey's idea to leave the Bloodline. Jimmy said Jey went off and became the top wrestler on the Raw brand, which I don't know if that's true, but one of. The top merchandise seller and even a tag team champion without him. Jimmy said Jey forgot him. Jimmy said the biggest moment of Jey's career is because of him. And Jey said the biggest moment of his career would be his dream match at WrestleMania 40 when he knocks the yeet out of Jimmy's ass. Jey punched Jimmy, and then Solo climbed on the apron, and Jimmy took advantage of the distraction, super kicked Jey, and Solo held Jey while Jimmy jawed at him, and then Cody came out to make the save in non-wrestling attire and not a suit, which was nice, but Cody hit Jimmy at ringside, and he entered the ring and hit Solo with a Cody cutter, and then Cody helped Jey to his feet while Jimmy and Sokoa backed up the entrance aisle. So it's going to be fun to see these two. You know, I've been critical of this program because I'm over the Bloodline Civil War stuff, but they made me more interested this week in seeing this match, and I think that's all you can ask for, even if you are in the same boat I am. And Jay being able to hold his anger back for Jimmy, who screwed him time and again. I mean, Jimmy screwed Jay out of beating Roman Reigns for the Undisputed Championship, among many other examples. So, you know, Jay still saying he misses his brother. It makes sense. They're actual brothers. They have a bond. They had a long-standing bond. But this finally broke down, and Jay punched him, and, you know, the super kick happened. Now, I have been tasked with the job of doing an over-under on how many super kicks we think we're going to see in Jimmy versus Jay at WrestleMania. And I put the over-under at about 12, but I could be really wrong with that. I mean, I do wonder, guys, like, what do you think the over-under is on Jimmy versus Jay with the number of super kicks we're going to see in that match? Maybe 15 is the over-under in total, right? I mean, it's almost a guarantee that's at least double digits, but still, beyond that, you know, this did make sense, and Jimmy came with some passion. You know, Jimmy came with the idea that he's the victim, that Jay's the one that left him. And, you know, actually, I mean, that really wasn't the case, as Jay left SmackDown so he could get away from the Bloodline and, you know, dealing with the consequences of leaving that group. And he punched super kicked his brother and said, deuces, I'm out. And then that's when Cody brought Jay to Raw several weeks later. So, I mean, Jimmy in his own mind is a victim here, but obviously the crowd is siding with Jay, and they should. This has been a very well-told story with Jay specifically. They've done a really nice job managing him and making him feel like living up to his name of being main event Jey Uso. He does feel like a main event, and I was a bit skeptical of naming anybody main event anything, because you become a parody of yourself when you don't main event. It's a very big, easy target on your back. When you don't main event, someone could easily just make fun of what you call yourself, yet you're not that. So, all right. Now, again, Cody coming out, Mr. Save the Day, and he was there, and, and it's understandable given he has a problem with the Bloodline right now, again, because of him facing Roman. So that made sense, I guess. But it's also just Cody has to be the big savior of the day for everybody, it seems like, all the time. Nonetheless, at least he didn't bring his, as The Rock would say, goofy-ass dog out to help him. You know, I mean, now is he just bringing his dog around? Look, you know, I put this out on X, and I stand by this, and maybe I'll, you know, add to it, because here's what I'll say about Cody Rhodes. Now, you know that I bash him every week, and I only bash his character, not his ability. So here's what I said on X, and you can follow me, by the way, at the WWE podcast on Twitter or X. I said, Cody Rhodes, for all his talent, being a phenomenal wrestler, very good promo, a two-time WrestleMania main eventer, is still a complete tool. Bringing his dog to events, bleaching his hair like it's 2001, telling us he's here to, quote, make us happy, crying on national television. Yeah, so it's all true. What there is a lie. None of that is a lie. Those are observations. Of course, the tool part is very subjective, but the rest of it is just observations. I don't need to see this dude cry on national television and bring his stupid dog to television every week now, as if we're supposed to relate. Is that supposed to be, like, what's the point of that? No one has ever brought their animal, their personal animal on camera. Why? Is it supposed to be relatable? Some people are sitting there going, oh, cool, I love my dog too. Wow, he's just like me. Is that the point? Like, are we just supposed to be, just to make it feel like he's just the common man who has a dog like millions of people do in the world? Is that the idea? I would think so. To be relatable, to feel like the common man. Except the common man doesn't bring his goofy dog to a television taping if you're a national TV star and bleach their hair at 37 years old. Okay? We don't do that. I mean, I literally haven't seen a man bleach his hair since NSYNC broke up 20 years ago. Seriously. I mean, it does oddly work for him, but I don't know. The guy is just a tool. He's a tool in the tool shed. Now, he's a very good tool, right? I mean, again, I can admire his abilities. I can admire how good he is on the microphone at times, how good he is in the ring, ultra talented in the ring. I mean, he is a multifaceted wrestler beyond what a lot of the guys on the roster are capable of in terms of in-ring, telling a story in the ring, selling, making his opponent look good, emotion. He is good at all of that. But we can also say he's just a dork. Is that a better way to put it? Maybe just a dork? Maybe that's a more adequate way to put him. He's kind of like I don't know, man. I don't know how else to put it. So, I mean, I'm tired of seeing his dog and anyway, let's move on. I get on these Cody tangents. It's just kind of par for the course on my Raw reviews. Let's move on. We got a lot more to talk about. We got then, let's see, DIY. Well, Paul Heyman was backstage speaking with Adam Pearce and said that he's here on official business. And so we'll figure out what that is later. Creed Brothers then come out. They have a tag team qualifying match for the six-pack challenge at WrestleMania, ladder match, against DIY. Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa. This was a treat. I mean, 18 minutes of just great wrestling. Yes, the characters on both teams, all four men, are very shallow, meaning we don't know much about them. We don't have a whole lot of emotional attachment to the characters. At the same time, when you don't have a whole lot of character development, you don't get a whole lot of mic time, they make up for it by having absolute stellar matches, by telling their own story in the ring, showcasing how good they are. I mean, these four men are just a joy to watch. And I've been wondering where the hell the Creed brothers are, who just fell off the face of the earth. Now they're back, but they were there to just lose to DIY. So I don't know what they're going to do at WrestleMania, unless there's some kind of, sometimes there's that second chance. They have that a lot of times with like Fatal Four Ways or, Elimination Chamber matches. Perhaps that sixth spot will be a second chance match with the losing teams. I mean, that's my guess. Maybe like a representative from each team has a Fatal Four-Way match and that person's team goes on to WrestleMania for the sixth and final spot. Just kind of spitballing ideas. So it's still possible we see the Creed brothers involved in the ladder match, which I don't know how you don't include them. How do you not include the Creed brothers? Brutus and Julius. How do you not include these guys? Seriously, I mean, based on every single performance that they've had, which has been stellar almost every single time, can you imagine what they do at WrestleMania with a bunch of other guys who are ultra talented with a ladder in the middle of the whole thing? So it's almost unfathomable that they don't include the Creed brothers somehow. It also would be a great place to showcase new talent. So I think it's a win-win. I think somehow Julius and Brutus Creed will be included in the match. Maybe in the final week, they'll sneak in. So, I mean, it was just great. It's just great. I mean, the Creed brothers just continue to impress. The double ankle lock into the cross face, that you thought was it, right? There was at one point a white noise off the second rope you thought was it. I mean, it's awesome. It's just really good stuff. I got nothing bad to say about any of these men, including, of course, DIY, who also have very good chemistry and went over here. But all right. So we then got Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell versus Caden Carter and Katana Chance. This is almost becoming it has been insulting for a while. How many times have I come on here and said, here's your random women's tag team match for the night, and it's always 2 minutes long. Literally 2 minutes. Not exaggerating 2 minutes or being overdramatic. It's literally 2 minutes long. That's exactly what we got here. Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell beat Caden Carter and Katana Chance, who, by the way, at one point were women's tag team champions, if that means anything. And why? I mean, I don't understand it. I mean, at least it wasn't as forced as last week with Chelsea Green, or rather Maxine Dupree. I mean, but this was just why? I mean, it wasn't a bad match, but how can you really analyze a match that's just 2 minutes long? Nonetheless, I've got nothing good to say about the women's tag team division until they show me there's actually a division, and not just check a box that they, oh, see guys, we had a women's tag team match. That doesn't tell the whole story. And I've got, you know, I feel bad for these women, because all four of these women, especially Caden Carter and Katana Chance, and really Indy Hartwell too, are all phenomenal. And they don't get the time on a 3-hour show that you can't tell me you can't fit that in. You can't give them in like 10 minutes. It's, I want to say inexcusable. I'm just, you know, until they prove me otherwise, that they consistently have respect for and are actually capable of producing a women's tag team division, I have no respect for what they're doing here, because it's clearly nothing more than to check a box. It's checking a box when you give them not just, it's not, if this happened like 1 week out of like 12, I'd be like, yeah, well, you know, hey, sometimes things get cut. And segments get cut, it happens. But it's consistently, for anyone outside the tag team picture, tag team championship picture, or the women's title picture, no one else gets an opportunity, it seemingly, at least at any length beyond 2 minutes. 2 minutes is like the ceiling. So it's frustrating, because I want the women's tag team division to grow, and it just seems like they are, like I said, they have a clipboard. And somebody's there going, "Did we have a? Please tell me we had a women's tag team match tonight, so we can make sure we're appeasing the fans and those that think we're not, you know, progressing with the women's development in WWE." Oh, whew, good, we did, so we can tell them we did. Let's check. It feels like that. Okay, let's move on. We've got Cody Rhodes then coming out in the second hour, and he said that in less than 3 weeks' time he'll stand opposed for the second year in a row in the main event. When the lights shine brightest, and Cody said he will challenge Roman Reigns and refer to him as the greatest champion in all of sports. It's quite the statement. Cody said he and Reigns will have a little conversation on Friday SmackDown, and said there are complications, namely The Rock. He called The Rock's concert entertaining and said it's too bad he didn't want to be at this Raw. Which, by the way, guys, speaking of that, The Rock is going to be on Raw April 1st. In the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. And that's confirmed. This isn't innuendo or speculation. This is directly from The Rock's page. So The Rock is going to be on Raw. He's done with SmackDown, from what I understand. But he is going to make an appearance on Raw, the final Raw before WrestleMania 40. So that's going to be awesome. And I am very much thinking about going down to Brooklyn. It's only a few hours drive from me. The parking sucks, right? Gas, time, tickets aren't cheap. Even the crappy seats are like $300. But it's pulling me towards Brooklyn, and I'm really, really thinking about it. I'm trying to test the waters with my wife, you know, and see what she thinks. Obviously, money and time and, you know, all those things factor in, and just life events. And so I'm trying to see if I can squeeze my way down to Brooklyn for April 1st Raw. Because, boy, I mean, to be able to see The Rock live, it's one of those deals that it may be, when you go, the last time you see him live. Ever. Yeah, that's how big of a deal it is. So I may try to squeeze my way down there into the Barclays Center. Now, I have a little bit of love for the Barclays Center, because that's also the last place that I saw Stone Cold Steve Austin at Raw 25, when he stunned Shane, stunned Vince. And they had that dual broadcast at the Manhattan Center as well. So it seems to be a special place for some of the biggest stars for WWE to make their returns. And this one seems to be one that's really tempting me. Really tempting me. So maybe I'll just pull the trigger and then just do things and then ask questions later, right? All right. So let's continue here. Cody noted, now here's where things go weird for me. And not just because it's Cody, although it doesn't help that it's Cody. It kind of makes things worse. But I don't care who it is. I don't care who is saying this. I don't even care if The Rock was saying this on WWE TV. I'd find it just uncomfortable. And here's what Cody said, and I'm paraphrasing. He noted that The Rock referred to himself as, quote, our favorite heel. Cody said it's an insider term, and we all know what it means. Cody, please stop the pain. Right there, please stop the pain. I can appreciate what Cody's doing by trying to be real, right? By breaking that fourth wall, by just making this feel as authentic as possible. But sometimes you can go too far and almost pull that curtain back all the way, and then at the same time, try to also pretend you're still in character. You can't do both when you go that far. You don't say heel and babyface on TV. You just don't do it. I'm all for authentic, feeling, organic storylines, things that feel real. I'm all for that. But there comes a limit. There comes things that, in terms that you just don't say. It takes you out of the moment. That wasn't one of those things that you go, oh man, that was awesome. Like, I can't believe he said that. It was just, I felt uncomfortable. Because it felt like he was kind of exposing the product while also still being a part of it. Like, you can't simultaneously do those things. I'm not offended by it. I'm not saying, well, these things are off limits. How dare he? It just, it makes the product feel lesser. It devalues the thing that he's actually doing. So again, I understand the intent behind it. That's the first time, by the way, I think anyone on air, I think, has said the word heel, especially a wrestler in a promo. I've heard bad guy. You want me to be a bad guy? I've heard John Cena say it after I don't even know what WrestleMania it was. I don't know. It was about 10, 12 years ago, maybe. After WrestleMania, he was teasing the crowd, the Monday Night Raw after, and he said, I feel like dancing, and maybe I'll do a little, you know, hip swivel, and then the crowd booed, and then he said, maybe I'll do a little heel turn. But he was, you know, waving his heel of his foot, but he knew what that implied. I think that's the only time that I can remember anybody saying heel, but he said it in the context of, like, you could construe it as a, you know, a quote-unquote dance move, right? But this was blatantly heel as an insider term. And also, by him saying it's an insider term, as if he's educating us. Like, he said everyone knows it, but it's an insider term. Well, it can't be an insider term if everyone knows it, Cody. You can't. It's like having an inside joke that everyone knows. It's the same concept. If I had an inside joke, but everyone in my group knows the inside joke, well, then it's not an inside joke, because that means that only, like, select people know what that is, right? I mean, like, I don't think he understood the irony or the parody. I'm not sure which term is correct. It's late at night. But one of those words is, of what he said. Like, dude, you can't have an insider term, but also he said, we all know what that means. Well, no, which one is it? I mean, so that was just, I mean, it doesn't get better. I mean, he said Cody ran through a list of the famous heels and said that he doesn't think Rock is a heel. He thinks he's an a-hole. So Cody's also been given the green light to say non-PG things. Fine, whatever. I mean, I mean, it's fine. It's a fine line. But again, I don't need a list of the famous heels. Okay. I don't need a list of them. Ric Flair, right? Bobby the Brain Heenan, who is a manager, obviously not a wrestler, but, you know, superstar Billy Graham. I don't need this list of people that are bad guys. Like, stop it. These are saved for documentaries. This is saved for A&E. This is saved for Dark Side of the Ring. You know, this is not saved for the promo leading up to WrestleMania for the main event, where they're just talking about heels and baby faces, and he's playing a bad guy. It's just please stop. Please stop. Again, this is not specifically because this is Cody Rhodes. This is just the content of the promo I'm really hammering here. the content of the promo is horrendous so far because it exposes the business, and he's also insulting our intelligence on top of it. So Cody told The Rock that told Rock and the $7 team not to get upset. He knows they don't like the emotion, doesn't like emotion given the way The Rock mocked him for crying. Cody said Rock has been crying behind the scenes the entire time. And Cody said Rock went to his buddies at the TKO board and said he would save them. And he mocked the idea while pointing out that the house they drew for this show, while saying they sure as hell needed saving. Okay, well, Cody, that's not the same thing. There's a metaphorical crying and there's a literal, a more feminine way of crying. And that's just the way it is, right? Kind of metaphorical crying is you just be, you know, bitch and moan and complain behind the scenes. And that's what The Rock apparently did, right? In Cody's eyes. But The Rock didn't sit there and sob or get like, my mama. That's what The Rock's making fun of. So Cody, once again, excuse me, fails here because the metaphorical crying and the actual crying, which he didn't actually cry, but hey, his voice did. His eyes forgot to do their part last week. But let's pretend he actually cried. That's the difference there, Cody. You can bitch and moan, but the fact that you actually cried and sounded like a baby, a child, is the problem. See the distinction, Cody? The metaphorical crying is not equivalent to the actual crying you did. As a little, well, anyway. Okay. It doesn't get better. Cody said that the TKO folks are yes people and enablers who won't tell The Rock like it is. Cody said he would do, and he said that The Rock is a lot of wonderful things, and he said he even has a pair of tennis shoes that go with The Rock's logo on them. Cody said Rock is a Mount Rushmore wrestler, and he's also a terrible salesman and a carny succubus. For those that don't know what that means, you're a whiny bee, said Cody. Cody told Rock not to think the locker room needs him any more than he needs it, and Cody recalled Rock talking about his mother. Cody said he knows Rock's mom and said that she's the salt of the earth and recalled helping her by helping him chop Kevin Owens in a dark match. So there's another insider term that you never hear. So we've used the word heel. We've used the word dark match. It gets worse. So Cody said he has nothing but respect for Rock's mom, and it's a respect that should echo back towards his mom. Cody recalled Rock claiming that Cody's mother would tremble when he hands her a bloody weight belt, and Cody said his mother once beat up an undercover cop at a Willie Nelson concert, and she's not afraid of The Rock. Okay, well, I can guarantee you that an undercover cop at a Willie Nelson concert is not equivalent to a 280-pound, muscle-bound human being. Okay, a little different, but sure. I mean, I'd love to see what this undercover cop looks like, don't you? I know it's a super small thing that he mentioned. No one's talking about it. But like, if you were able to somehow pull that undercover cop out and stick him next to The Rock. And also, what does that mean? She beat up an undercover cop? Really? Exactly in what way? How did it go down? Did he retaliate? Did she hit him from behind? Like, so many unknowns. But sure, let's pretend that that's a admirable feat. Anyway, Cody said that he doesn't know if they'll have bloodline rules when he faces Reigns or whether he'll be able to finish his story. He questioned how The Rock could be so sure about what he'll do in the ring when it's been so long since he's actually wrestled. He wondered if there would be big Dwayne energy or LDS, little D syndrome. And this is where it gets worse. Cody said Rock calls himself the final boss and gave props to Brian Gewirtz for coming up with the name. And Cody said Rock won't be the final boss. He'll be Roman's sidekick or side chick. I don't know. Okay, so now we're talking to three really cardinal sins here. Brian Gewirtz, writer for Monday Night Raw. You don't talk about the writers, okay? You don't especially mention them by name. You don't use the word dark match, the term dark match, and you certainly don't use the word heel. So I guess he was trying to make this a real life rivalry by actually exposing the business. And I think it hurt the business, really, in this promo. I know people are enamored with this. Some people love this promo. I think it was embarrassing for the business. Cody did a good job executing. See, this is where I have conflicting on the execution that Cody has on a lot of things, but also totally disagreeing with what's said or done. You know, like I don't always have to be hating the segment and the execution. It's a lot of times, more often, disliking the content and direction, but also appreciating the effort and really applauding the execution. So like both of those things can be true, which has always been what's weird about Cody Rhodes. So I think he did a really nice job executing. I just totally disagree with all of those things that he said of, exposing the business, bringing on, talking about writers, I know John Cena did one thing in his promo with, or his rivalry with The Rock. I remember what he did, where he talked about how, he named one of Rock's writers by name, and Hiram or something, I think it was, how he said, that's who comes up with all of his jokes. You know, so this thing has been done a little bit before, but not Brian Gewirtz. Brian Gewirtz, you know, obviously that name rings a bell to many people. And then talking about insider terms, you just don't do it, man. Anyway, Heyman walked up to the steps and Cody stopped him. And it ended with essentially Heyman saying that Roman will be there alone. You have my word on SmackDown. And Cody agreed to do the same. So we'll see if Roman keeps his word. You obviously know Cody will. So it's good to see, though, that despite all this, Roman and Cody are going to have a one-on-one conversation with, of course, Paul Heyman to be the kind of Roman's crutch. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. I'm really looking forward to seeing what these two have to say to each other, as we will at that point be just 2 weeks out from WrestleMania. Okay, let's see here. So now the review I'm reading from an unknown website says that Cody cut an outstanding promo on The Rock. The Rock has hit hard and Cody hit back even harder. No, he didn't. He simply didn't. At what cost? Like, well, at what cost did Cody hit back harder? Hit back harder in what way? Okay, then we get, let's see, where are we at? Dominic Mysterio with JD McDonagh versus Ricochet, and Ricochet beat Dom in 7 minutes and 20 seconds. The finish of this saw Ricochet kick McDonagh off the apron, but Dom took advantage of the distraction by kicking Ricochet from behind. Ricochet came right back with the recoil and scored the victory. And then after the match, McDonagh went after Ricochet, who caught him with a kick, and then went backwards over the top rope and landed on his feet at ringside. And then Cole spoke about how Ricochet has been embarrassing the Judgment Day. So, and Ricochet on a little bit of an ascent here. I mean, I think Ricochet, when we look back at his career, some of us may look at it, you know, if it ended today, Ricochet's career might be highlighted by a Logan Paul rivalry. Seriously. Which is kind of crazy given Ricochet's ability and how good he is in the ring. The fans have never been able to really connect with him for any long period of time on a emotional level. And that's why I've always been concerned about Ricochet's style, not only for his actual health and longevity of taking all those bumps and doing those things and the unnecessary risks, but also the fans look at you when you do that stuff as kind of like a superficial, dance for me clown type of thing. Instead of connecting with you emotionally and caring about your character's victories and losses, they look at you as just fireworks, as just kind of, oh, cool, let me see the next cool move, the next cool move, the next cool move. And it's a dangerous place to be. So, all right, backstage, Sami Zayn saw Chad Gable in the hallway and spoke about their match, how it could have gone either way. Gable was very passive aggressive and saying, yeah, it was great. And Gable said it meant more to him. And Zayn pointed out he has kids at home, and when they cry, he loses too, or when they cry when he loses too. And Gable said he knows all that. And Zayn asked him what it's all about. And he said, you can't beat Gunther, and then walked away. So they're addressing the fans' backlash kind of there by having both of them have a conversation. It seems, though, as if this may not be it for Gable, who continues to just poke his nose into this program. I know that many of you don't want a triple threat, but it's not the same as last year if Gunther were to do a triple threat, because Gable and Zayn are not McIntyre and Sheamus. Much different styles. So that's what the difference is. Where all three men last year with Gunther, Sheamus, and Drew all had very similar styles and similar size. The differential here would be, the fun differential would be the size difference of Gable and Zayn and their quick work and their more pure wrestling ability. And they just work a different way. And I think that would have brought some fun into this. But who knows if Gable's coming in? Who knows if that's what they're going for? It could just be Sammy and Gunther straight up. But, okay. Speaking of the contract signing, that was next. And Gunther laughed at Zayn and questioned why he was dressed the way he was, like any other bum in the audience, which is great. Zayn told Gunther that smug look on his face was starting to really piss him off. Zayn said Gunther didn't believe he could beat him. And Zayn said a lot of people didn't think he would end up in WWE or be a champion or main event WrestleMania. Zayn said the Usos didn't believe he would be the guy who would end up the longest reigning tag team title of reign, who would end the longest tag team title reign of all, but he did. And now will end the longest intercontinental title reign of all. And then Zayn signed the contract. And then he said that, I know you don't believe that I can beat you, but look into my eyes. Take a look again. He knows that, he said, he knows that Zayn doesn't believe he can beat him. So, you know, this was good. I mean, we got some conviction from Zayn. Zayn does need some more crowd support, because a lot of people still look at Chad Gable and go, man, it should be him. But, yeah, do I think Zayn should be the one to take it off of Gunther? No, I don't. The only way I would want that, and again, it's not the worst choice in the world. I wouldn't lose my mind. But I would only do it if there's a plan for Gunther to move up. I wouldn't just have Sami Zayn win and then Gunther and Sami fight around the Intercontinental title picture for 4 months and, you know, don't move Gunther up. So you could really make a case for Gunther retaining at WrestleMania here. You know, I know that there's also rumors of Braun Strowman returning. Now, Braun Strowman could get involved at some point at WrestleMania, maybe after I could see him being a after WrestleMania debut, the Raw after WrestleMania making his return. Braun Strowman to me is a guy that is a big man that can move well, but he's kind of goofy. You know, you can never really take him too seriously. He's always roaring. Remember all the screams he does? They actually put in a locomotive sound effect when he does his stupid run around the ring. I mean, I'm already hammering on a guy that hasn't been here in like a year, it feels like, but I mean, I have no interest in seeing Braun Strowman return. I really don't, you know, but I've heard rumors of it and I could see where they would, you know, put Braun Strowman in the face of Gunther if Brock doesn't come back. If Brock isn't the next plan, I could see Braun Strowman being that guy. So if Gunther retains. All right. So let's see here. We got then a segment backstage that was kind of funny with the Inda Sheer coming in contact with Awesome Truth and R-Truth saying to The Miz that, man, I feel bad for the guys who have to face them tonight. I feel sorry whoever's to fight those guys. I mean, R-Truth, just, the way he's disconnected from reality makes his character so much fun. It's just great. So we get then the Inda Sheer versus Awesome Truth in a ladder match qualifier. This match was 3 minutes long. It's the outcome we all expected, with R-Truth and The Miz beating Inda Sheer, which I didn't know means Indian Tiger, so I appreciate that from, I think it was Cole. So I appreciate that little tidbit of knowledge. And, you know, again, no surprise here. It was fine. Having R-Truth luck into the victory was also kind of fine. And that's kind of that. So, all right. Let's see. We then get Gable saying it's not physical, it's mental to Sami Zayn. Gable said Zayn has made a career out of being the underdog who crawls his way out of any hole he finds himself in. Gable said Gunther is on a different level and said Zayn would sit and wait for the opportunity. He would sit and wait for that opportunity to appear, but that doesn't happen with Gunther. Gable told Zayn that if he doesn't change himself mentally, he can't beat Gunther. So Chad Gable, it's really transformed himself from the kind of comedic, Alpha Academy deal with Otis and Maxine to this very respectable, believable athlete character that is all business, no nonsense. I love it. I'm really loving this. So again, I don't know what the plan is. If Gable doesn't insert himself somehow into the Intercontinental title picture at WrestleMania, I don't know what the WrestleMania picture looks like for him. It's kind of, it'd be really disappointing if he doesn't find his way into a match at WrestleMania. It really will be, because he is unbelievable in the ring. Long way away from that Shorty G nonsense, are we not? So, all right. We then got a hype for CM Punk's return to Raw next week in Chicago. So what did they say, about 7 weeks or whatever it was from his surgery, being injured and all that. So Punk will no doubt, undoubtedly have something to say, probably directed at Drew McIntyre. They will absolutely have some kind of interaction, not physical. I mean, that would be shocking if they do anything physical at all with Punk. I don't expect that at all. You can't. So I do expect a lot of verbal battle, right? I mean, like, the verbal part of this thing is going to be fun to watch if they come face to face. But it could also be revealed that Punk is there to say he's the special referee. Now, don't forget, even if he's a special referee, you still have to count the three. And what does counting the three require you to do? Use your hand. Now you're saying, well, he could use his other hand. But you can't use your other hand if you don't have the bad hand to support you while you're counting the three. So you really need both arms. You need both arms to be a referee. And plus, you also risk yourself getting accidentally injured by being bumped by one of the guys. So some people are speculating it's to announce his special referee for that match. I'd be surprised if that's what it is. But he could say, he could just be very elusive and say, you know, I'll be there. I'll have a front row seat to that match, Drew. You know what I mean? Something along those lines. I'll be ringside. I'll be nearby. I'll be watching closely. Pick a phrase. Pick one of those kind of secretive phrases and let us wonder. So that'll be fun, though. Seeing CM Punk back, it'd be fun. Now, Drew McIntyre comes out, nice little smirk on his face, and said that he watched as Rollins then had his entrance and walked past him, again, disrespecting Drew. And Rollins said he was too busy soaking up the spotlight to have noticed McIntyre was there. So this is kind of weird, you know, the babyface disrespecting the heel when the heel really did nothing to be disrespected by Rollins. So interesting dynamic, but the fans are eating it up. And Seth said that my name is Seth freaking Rollins and I am a spotlight junkie. So and McIntyre said everything is just a joke to him and he's now a parody of himself. Some fans did the what thing and, McIntyre once again trolled them. And CM Punk chant started, and McIntyre said Punk would be there next week, but he would never show up to a place like Raleigh, or as he said with his accent, Rally. The fans booed, and then McIntyre looked into the camera and said the fans were booing Punk, who would leave his couch in Chicago to justify his big contract. Rollins cut off McIntyre, said it wasn't a joke to him when he said he's a spotlight junkie. Rollins said he's been doing this for 20 years and he's going through the curtain is his fix that gets better every single time. Rollins said the same of when he leaves it all in the ring and when the fans chant his song so loudly he can hardly speak or hear himself speak. We then kind of skipping ahead here. I don't want to do exactly a play by play. It went on for a little while. So Rollins said McIntyre wants the spotlight just as bad as he does and that he's been he said McIntyre has been getting for it since he won the title in 2020 in an empty warehouse. And he's been whining and complaining that he's deserved better ever since. Rollins said the problem is that when everyone came back around the lights and the lights got bright again, McIntyre fumbled the ball. And Rollins said that's the difference between them because he shines bright in those situations where he said Rollins said McIntyre will find out when the lights shine brightest that he's as good, not as good as he thinks he is, and then he left the ring. We then got a nice, okay, well, before I go on, this is fine. You know, this promo between Rollins and McIntyre didn't really move things forward. didn't move things backward, just kind of stayed the course, really, which is fine. So Becky Lynch then delivered a nice promo sitting backstage, very, very, very serious. I liked this promo from Becky. I really did. She said that all she knows is fighting and taking risks, and she'd be the last woman standing, building to her last woman standing match with Nia at the end of the night. So the look in her eye, the makeup, the setting of the camera, that was all, that felt different for Becky. And I don't know if that's by happenstance or if it's something by design, but I really enjoyed, it was quick, but I enjoyed the look and feel of that Becky Lynch very quick promo. I don't know what that means, but I did. So, because I've been advocating for Becky Lynch to feel different, look different, just tweak something. And maybe it's a darker version of herself, but still is a babyface. I don't know. All right. So, the New Day then came out, but The Rock, I didn't see it. They must have cut it off Hulu. Apparently, The Rock was advertised for the April 1st edition of Raw in Brooklyn. That must have really pissed off the Raleigh fans. I mean, again, there's nothing worse than being at a live event and seeing massive stars being advertised for shows that you're not going to be at. It's the worst. The worst. All right. Then we then get New Day versus Otis and Akira Tozawa for a ladder match qualifier. The match here ended with New Day beating Otis and Akira Tozawa in 9.5 minutes. And it ended with a elbow drop on Tozawa and got the victory with Woods hitting the elbow drop. So fine. You know, you didn't expect Otis and Akira Tozawa to win. New Day should have won that match, and they did. I mean, I don't have much else to say about it. Fine match. Crowd seemed to be into Otis, a little bit more than I expected. All right. Then we got Cody Rhodes shown backstage walking with his just stupid ass dog. Seth Rollins approached Cody and confirmed that it's going to be one-on-one on Friday. Doesn't need help with Roman. And Rollins said, "Love the bandana, Pharaoh." Oh my God. What's around the dog's neck? I'm not even going to refer to him as Pharaoh. He doesn't deserve a name. Okay. It's a wrestling show. What did the dog have around its neck? It said The Rock is a cat. I'm just not intelligent enough to understand. Is that supposed to be a meme? Is it supposed to be a parody of something? Is it supposed to be a turn of phrase? Or is it just, oh, The Rock is a cat and I'm a dog and I'm going to, you know, dogs chase cats and a dog. I mean, is that it? I don't want to analyze this stupid dog anymore, but let's move on. All right. So Becky Lynch comes out in the last woman standing match here. And the match was 18 minutes and 30 seconds. Long match. Nice match. Physical. Jax, who continues to impress every single time she's out, and I didn't think I'd ever say that, it took some really big bumps. The manhandle slam through the table. Jax leaned into all of that. I mean, I give her credit for that bump. Yes, it's through a table and padded flooring, but boy, that padding flooring is not like landing on a mattress. It's still thick, heavy, dense padding. So a credit to Nia Jax, who took some big bumps. I really thought that was it. The manhandle slammed through the table on the outside. Nia Jax got up and then stumbled around. Becky Lynch did a perfect leg drop on Nia through the announce table that put her down. So I've got nothing bad to say about this match. There were times when you thought Becky might lose with the Annihilator spot, Samoan drop spot. Just a nice, fun match for the women to end the show. And it followed suit with SmackDown with Bayley and Dakota Kai. So the women on both shows here getting some nice main event exposure. It doesn't always have to be about Rock, Roman, Seth, Cody. Rock, Roman, Seth, Cody. So it's nice. It's a nice change of pace. Rhea Ripley then came out and just jaw-jacked with Becky Lynch, who had a nice, you know, I will say this. I've been critical about this match, that I feel very blah about it. I feel like I should be more excited than I am. This week for me, slightly increased my excitement for the match. Not to a point of, oh my God, I can't wait, but more of like, okay, I'm starting to get into this a little more. With the intensity of Becky, with the match she had with Nia, Rhea and Becky going face to face, the video packages. I mean, they're starting to get there. It's just taking longer than it should. So they got a couple weeks left. We'll see if they can get it to a boiling point. But hey, I thought it was a very strong main event. Hats off to Nia Jax. Hats off to Becky. And I think it was a successful Raw overall. So I think that'll do it for me. And one more shout out to a patron. I don't know how I miss these. It's like sometimes I get notified on different places I got new patrons and it's not always consistent. So Matt Brown, thank you. I know that you're on the free trial right now and I hope you decide to stay with us. You can also get a free trial, guys, for a week. You want a totally free 1 week experience with no ads on the show? Wouldn't that be amazing? You're like, oh my God, the ads every 10 minutes or 9 minutes. Well, you can get rid of those for free. Stick with us for a week. And if you don't like it, cool, right? But you get a week for free of no ads. You can do that on Patreon. You can also do that on Apple Podcasts. We offer a week for free. So both times, both places, you can say, hey, let me just see if it's worth it, right? Let's see if it's worth it. And maybe decide to stick with us and maybe you don't, but it's at least a no risk situation, right? So it's a good time to get on board, though, for WrestleMania. I think once you get a taste of ad-free, you'll want to stick with it. It's almost really difficult to go back to ads. Like, I have YouTube Premium, and I cannot deal with, when people have ads on their YouTube, they're showing me something, I'm like, wait a minute, why are there ads? And you're just so used to just instantly seeing your videos with no ads on YouTube when you get YouTube Premium. You know, you can't go back. It's like getting Hulu with no ads. When you see ads, you're like, wait a minute, what the hell are ads doing on this? I think it's the same thing here. So when you get a podcast that doesn't have ads, you're going to be like, all right, totally worth it, right? Just all wrestling talk and none of the filler. So consider joining us again, Apple Podcasts or on Patreon. All righty. That'll do it for me, everybody. I think that'll roll us into the mailbag for tomorrow. I'm going to really try to get it out tomorrow on time. I've been really bad about that on Wednesdays because I've been burned out lately with work and everything else. So I'll do my best. So continue to send those emails in at mailbag@wwepodcast.com. Call us. The number's in the show notes of every mailbag I drop. So check that out. And we're getting close to WrestleMania, guys. Thank you so much for listening and take care.
Thanks for listening to the WWE Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss a show, or head to wwepodcast.com. And for all of these shows ad-free, head over to patreon.com/WWE podcast. Until then, we'll see you next time.